literature and service. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Psalm 68:11, chapter Our Publications. The great and wonderful work of the last gospel message is to be carried on now as it has never been before. The world is to receive the light of truth through an evangelizing ministry of the Word in our books and periodicals. Our publications are to show that the end of all things is at hand. I am bidden to say to our publishing houses, lift up the standard, lift it up higher, proclaim the third angel's message that it may be heard by all the world. Let it be seen that here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14:12. Let our literature give the message as a witness to all the world. Our workers should now be encouraged to give their first attention to books that deal with the evidences of our faith, books that teach the doctrines of the Bible, and that will prepare a people to stand in the trying times before us. Having brought a people to the enlightenment of the truth by prayerful labor and Bible instructions, and through a wise use of our publications, we are to teach them to become laborers in word and doctrine. We are to encourage them to scatter the books that deal with Bible subjects, books the teaching of which will prepare a people to stand, having their loins girded with truth and their lamps burning. We have been asleep, as it were, regarding the work that may be accomplished by the circulation of well-prepared literature. Let us now, by the wise use of periodicals and books, preach the word with determined energy that the world may understand the message that Christ gave to John on the Isle of Patmos. Let every human intelligence who professes the name of Christ testify, the end of all things is at hand, prepare to meet thy God. Our publications should go everywhere. Let them be issued in many languages. The third angel's message is to be given through this medium and through the living teacher. You who believe the truth for this time, wake up. It is your duty now to bring in all the means possible to help those who understand the truth to proclaim it. Part of the money that comes in from the sale of our publications should be used to increase our facilities for the production of more literature that will open blind eyes and break up the fallow ground of the heart. There is danger of entering into commercialism and becoming so engrossed in worldly business that the truths of the Word of God in their purity and power will not be brought into the life. The love of trade and gain is becoming more and more prevalent. My brethren, let your souls be truly converted. If there ever there was a time when we needed to understand our responsibilities, it is now, when truth has fallen in the streets and equity cannot enter. Satan has come down with great power to work with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and those things that can be shaken will remain. The Lord is coming very soon, and we are entering into scenes of calamity. Satanic agencies, though unseen, are working to destroy human life. But if our life is hid with Christ in God, we shall see of His grace and salvation. Christ is coming to establish His kingdom on the earth. Let our tongues be sanctified and used to glorify Him. Let us work now as we have never worked before. We're exhorted to be instant in season, out of season. 2 Timothy 4:2. We are to make openings for the presentation of the truth. We are to improve every opportunity of drawing souls to Christ. As a people, we are to be reconverted, our lives sanctified to declare the truth as it is in Jesus. In the work of scattering our publications, we can speak of a Savior's love from a warm and throbbing heart. God alone has power to forgive sins. If we do not speak this message to the unconverted, our neglect may prove their ruin. Blessed, soul-saving Bible truths are published in our papers. There are many who can help in the work of selling our periodicals. The Lord calls upon all of us to seek to save perishing souls. Satan is at work to deceive the very elect, and now is our time to work with vigilance. Our books and papers are to be brought before the notice of the people. The gospel of present truth is to be given to our cities without delay. Shall we not arouse to our duties? If we are making the life and teachings of Christ our study, every passing event will furnish a text for an impressive discourse. It was thus that the Savior preached the gospel in the highways and byways, and as he spoke, the little group that listened to him swelled to a great company. Present-day evangelists are to be workers together with Christ. These, just as verily as the first disciples, have the assurance, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The work to be carried on by the people of God is declared in the words of inspiration, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Mark 1, 2, and 3. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." Isaiah 42, 1-3. God invites all men to the fullest investigation of the claims of his law. His word is sacred and infinite. The cause of truth is to go forth as a lamp that burneth. Earnest study of the word of God will reveal the truth. Sin and wrong will not be sustained, but the law of God will be vindicated. Thus saith God the Lord, "He that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh of it, he that giveth breath unto people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." Isaiah 42:5-7. Christians are to seek their light from the Word of God, and then in faith go forth to give that light to those who sit in darkness. Sanitarium, California, May 24, 1908. Circulate the publications. On the night of March 2, 1907, many things were revealed to me regarding the value of our publications on present truth, and the small effort that is being made by our brethren and sisters in the churches for their wide circulation. I have been repeatedly shown that our presses should now be constantly employed in publishing light and truth. This is a time of spiritual darkness in the churches of the world. Ignorance of divine things has hidden God and the truth from view. The forces of evil are gathering in strength. Satan flatters his co-workers that he will do a work that will captivate the world. While partial inactivity has come upon the church, Satan and his hosts are intensely active. The professed Christian churches are not converting the world, for they are themselves corrupted with selfishness and pride and need to feel the converting power of God in their midst before they can lead others to a purer or higher standard. An encouraging experience. The afternoon of March 2, I spent in council with Brother and Sister S.N. Haskell discussing the work in Oakland and their plans to go east to spend some time in South Lancaster. After our visit, I was weary and retired early. I was suffering with rheumatism in my left side and could get no rest because of the pain. I turned from side to side, trying to find ease from the suffering. There was a pain in my heart that portended no good for me. At last, I fell asleep. About 9:30, I attempted to turn myself, and as I did so, I became aware that my body was entirely free of pain. As I turned from side to side and moved my hands, I experienced an extraordinary freedom and lightness that I cannot describe. The room was filled with light, a most beautiful, soft, azure light, and I seemed to be in the arms of heavenly beings. This peculiar light I had experienced in the past, in times of special blessing, but this time it was more distinct, more impressive, and I felt such peace, peace so full and abundant no words can express it. I raised myself into a sitting posture, and I saw that I was surrounded by a bright cloud, white as snow, the edges of which were tinged with a deep pink. The softest, sweetest music was filling the air, and I recognized the voice as the singing of the angels. Then a voice spoke to me, saying, "Fear not, I am your Savior. Holy angels are all about you. Then this is heaven, I said. How can I be at rest? I shall have no more messages to bear, no more misrepresentations to endure. Everything will be easy now, and I shall enjoy peace and rest. Oh, what inexpressible peace fills my soul. Is this indeed heaven? Am I one of God's little children, and shall I always have this peace? The voice replied, Your work is not yet done. Again I fell asleep, and when I awoke I heard music, and I wanted to sing. Then someone passed my door, and I wondered if that person saw the light. After a time the light passed away, but the peace remained. After a while I fell asleep again. This time I seemed to be in a council meeting where our bookwork was being discussed. There were a number of our brethren present, leaders in our work, and Elder Haskell and his wife were there consulting together and with the brethren about the circulation of our books, tracts, and periodicals. Elder Haskell was presenting strong reasons why the books which contain the knowledge that has been communicated to Sister White, the books containing the special message to come to the world at this present time, should be more freely circulated. Why, he inquired, do not our people appreciate and circulate more widely the books bearing the divine credentials? Why is not a specialty made of the books containing the warnings regarding Satan's work? Why do we not give greater effort to circulating the books that point out Satan's plans to counterwork the work of God, that uncover his plans and point out his deceptions? The moral evils of his deceptions are to be removed by opening the eyes of the people so that they will discern the situation and the dangers of our times, so that they shall make diligent effort to lay hold by faith upon Christ and his righteousness. A messenger from heaven stood in our midst, and he spoke words of warning and instruction. He made us clearly understand that the gospel of the kingdom is a message for which the world is perishing, and that this message, as contained in our publications already in print, and those yet to be issued, should be circulated among the people that are nigh and far off. Dangers in speculative study. The light of truth which God designed shall come to the people of the world at this time is not that which the world's men of learning are seeking to impart, for these men in their research often arrive at erroneous conclusions, and in their study of many authors become enthused with theories that are of satanic origin. Satan, clothed in the garb of an angel of light, presents for the study of the human mind subjects which seem very interesting and which are full of scientific mystery. In the investigation of these subjects, men are led to accept erroneous conclusions and to unite with seducing spirits in the work of propounding new theories which lead away from the truth. There is danger that the false sentiments expressed in the books that they have been reading will sometimes be interwoven by our ministers, teachers, and editors with their arguments, discourses, and publications, under the belief that they are the same in principle as the teachings of the Spirit of Truth. The book Living Temple is an illustration of this work, the writer of which declared in its support that its teachings were the same as found in the writings of Mrs. White. Again and again we shall be called to meet the influence of men who are studying sciences of satanic origin, through which Satan is working to make a non-entity of God and of Christ. The Father and the Son each have a personality. Christ declared, I and my Father are one. Yet it was the Son of God who came to the world in human form, laying aside his royal robe and kingly crown. He clothed his divinity with humanity, that humanity, through his infinite sacrifice, might become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Christ was tempted in all points as man is tempted, but at no time did he bring against the tempter a railing accusation. To every temptation he presented the word of the Lord. It is written was his never-failing weapon. We, as the representatives of Christ, are to meet every thrust of the enemy with the word of the living God. Never should we allow ourselves to follow the trail of the serpent by using his scientific arguments. Satan can never gain advantage of the child of God who relies on the word of God as his defense. Our counselor impressed deeply on our minds that God's commandment-keeping people must be sanctified through the truth, and the truth must ever be given the foremost place. We must not forget that Satan still lives to exercise his deceptive power through false science. Christ was the majesty of heaven, the Prince of Life, yet he humbled himself as a man and became obedient to every law of God. He passed over the ground that every man must tread who takes his name, and came forth from his trial pure and untainted by sin. He was our example in all things. The first advent of Christ and his life of ministry are not studied as they should be. His life was one of self-denial, in which truth in all its noble qualities was expressed. He lived to bless humanity by every good word and work. Dignity of the bookwork. The work of bookmaking is a grand and good work, but it has not always stood in the high and holy position that God designed it should occupy, because self has been interwoven with the work of some who have engaged in it. The bookwork should be the means of quickly giving the sacred light of present truth to the world. The publications that come forth from our presses today are to be of such a character as to strengthen every pin and pillar of the faith that was established by the Word of God and by the revelations of His Spirit. The truth that God has given for His people in these last days should keep them firm when they come into the truth those who present false theories. The truth that has stood firm against the attacks of the enemy for more than half a century must still be the confidence and comfort of God's people. Our evidence to non-professors that we have the truth of the Word of God will be given in a life of strict self-denial. We must not make a mockery of our faith, but ever keep before us the example of Him, though He was the Prince of Heaven, stooped to a life of self-denial and sacrifice to vindicate the righteousness of His Father's Word. Let us each resolve to do our best that the light of our good works may shine forth to the world. Unity and progress. Perfect agreement should exist in the plans laid for the publication of our books and periodicals, that the light which they contain may be quickly carried everywhere to the nominal churches and to the world. Much more should have been accomplished in the sale of our books than we see accomplished today. Our minister should call upon the church members to let the truth triumph. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Isaiah 60:1-3. Unity and love will accomplish wonderful things for the believers. Will not our churches arouse and give the last warning message to the world? Our relief books. Christ Object Lessons is a book that speaks for itself and has accomplished a good work. As it has been sold and the object of its sale related, money has been received that has relieved the indebtedness of our schools. But more than this, many by reading the book have been blessed by its lessons of truth, and many others will be blessed by reading it. The book Ministry of Healing may do the same work for our sanitariums and health institutions that Christ Object Lessons has done for our schools. This book contains the wisdom of the great physician. To me, it has been a privilege, a precious privilege, to donate my work on these books to the cause of God. In the future, there should be well-planned and persevering efforts made to increase their sale. Lift the debts. God designs that we shall learn lessons from the failure of the past. It is not pleasing to Him to have debts rest upon His institutions. We have reached the time when we must give character to the work by refusing to erect large and costly buildings. We are not to copy the mistakes of the past and become more and more involved in debt. We are rather to endeavor to clear off the indebtedness that still remains on our institutions. Our churches can help in this matter if they will. Those members to whom the Lord has given means can invest their money in the cause without interest or at a low rate of interest, and by their free will offerings they can help to support the work. The Lord asks you to return cheerfully to Him a portion of the goods He has lent you, and thus become His almoners. Another view of the bookwork. Afterward, we were in camp meetings and in large meetings in our churches where the ministers presented clearly the perils of the times in which we live and the great importance of making haste in the circulation of our literature. In response to these appeals, the brethren and sisters came forward and purchased many books. Some took a few and some purchased large quantities. Most of the purchasers paid for the books they took. a few arrange to pay afterward. Because books are being sold at low prices, some being especially reduced for the occasion, many were purchased, and some by persons not of our faith. They said it must be that these books contain a message for us. These people are willing to make sacrifices in order that we may have them, and we will secure them for ourselves and for our friends. But dissatisfaction was expressed by some of our own people. One said, "A stop must be put to this work, or our business will be spoiled." As one brother was carrying away an arm full of books, a canvasser laid his hand on his arm and said, "My brother, what are you doing with so many books?" Then I heard the voice of our counselor saying, "Forbid them not. This is a work that should be done. The end is near. Already much time has been lost when these books should have been in circulation. Sell them far and near. Scatter them like the leaves of autumn. This work is continued without the forbiddings of anyone. Souls are perishing out of Christ. Let them be warned to be soon appearing in the clouds of heaven." Some of the workers continued to appear much cast down. One was weeping and said, "These are doing the publishing work an injustice by purchasing these books at so low a price. Besides, this work is depriving us of some of the revenue by which our work is sustained." The voice replied, "You are meeting with no loss. These workers who take the books at reduced prices could not obtain so ready sale for them except it be at this so-called sacrifice. Many are now purchasing for their friends and for themselves who otherwise would not think of buying. A caution." Then instruction was given to Elder Haskell that in his anxiety to supply the people with the precious truth contained in his books and in his desire that all should feel that the books are worth more than they cost, and that all should be encouraged to give them a wide circulation, he was selling his books too cheap and thus making his own burden too heavy. Our counselor said, "The books should be sold in such a way that the author will not be left barehanded, and that the publishing house shall have a proper margin so that it will have means to carry on its work." A parable for our study. "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder," Christ declared, "which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, 'Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you.' And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, 'Why stand ye here all the day idle?' They say unto him, 'Because no man hath hired us.' He saith unto them, 'Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive.' So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, 'Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the first unto the last.' And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, 'These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen.'" Matthew 21:16. "Blessed will be the recompense of grace to those who have wrought for God in the simplicity of faith and love." The value of service to God is measured by the spirit in which it is rendered, rather than by the length of time spent in labor. Light for all. I am very desirous that the light contained in my books shall come to every soul possible, for God has sent the message for all. These books contain precious lessons in Christian experience. I would not dare forbid that these books should be sold on special occasions at a low price, lest I should hinder the right reading of the books, and thus withhold the light from some soul who might be converted to the truth. I have no forbiddings to place on the work of circulating our books. Let the light be placed on the candlestick, that it may give light to all that are in the house. A lesson in commercialism. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money chambers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what they say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? Matthew 21:12-16. Sanitarium, California, May 4, 1908. One point that should never be forgotten by our workers is that the Lord Jesus Christ is our chief director. He has outlined a plan by which the schools may be relieved of their indebtedness, and He will not vindicate the course of those who lay this plan aside for lack of confidence in its success. When His people will come up unitedly to the help of His cause in the earth, no good thing that God has promised will He withhold from them. A broader view. In carrying forward the Lord's work at home and abroad, those in positions of responsibility must plan wisely so as to make the best possible use of men and of means. The burden of sustaining the work in many of the foreign fields must be largely borne by our conferences in the homeland. These conferences should have means with which to assist in opening new fields where the testing truths of the third angel's message have never yet penetrated. Within the past few years, doors have been thrown open as if by magic, and men and women are needed to enter these doors and begin earnest work for the salvation of souls. Our educational institutions can do much toward meeting the demand for trained workers for these mission fields. Wise plans should be laid to strengthen the work done in our training centers. Study should be given to the best methods for fitting consecrated young men and young women to bear responsibility and to win souls for Christ. They should be taught how to meet the people and how to present the third angel's message in an attractive manner. And in the management of financial matters, they should be taught lessons that will help them when they are sent to isolated fields where they must suffer many privations and practice the strictest economy. The Lord has instituted a plan whereby many of the students in our schools can learn practical lessons needful to success in afterlife. He has given them the privilege of handling precious books that have been dedicated for the advancement of our educational and sanitarium work. In the very handling of these books, the youth will meet with many experiences that will teach them how to cope with problems that await them in the regions beyond. During their school life, as they canvass for these books, many may learn how to approach people courteously and how to exercise tact in conversing with them on different points of present truth. And as they meet with a degree of success financially, some will learn lessons of thrift and economy, which will be a great advantage to them when they are sent out as missionaries. The students who take up the work of selling Christ object lessons and ministry of healing will need to study the book they expect to sell. As they familiarize their mind with the subject matter of the book in hand and endeavor to practice its teachings, they will develop in knowledge and spiritual power. The messages in these books contain the light that God has revealed to me to give to the world. The teachers in our school should encourage the students to make a careful study of every chapter. They should teach these truths to their students and seek to inspire the youth with a love for the precious thoughts the Lord has entrusted to us to communicate to the world. Thus, the preparation for handling these books and the daily experiences gained while bringing them to the attention of the people will prove an invaluable schooling to those who take part in this line of effort. Under the blessing of God, the youth will obtain a fitting up for service in the Lord's vineyard. There is a special work to be done for our young people by those bearing responsibility in local churches throughout the conferences. When the church officers see promising youth who are desirous of fitting themselves for usefulness in the Lord's service, but whose parents are unable to send them to school, they have a duty to perform in studying how to give help and encouragement. They should take counsel with parents and youth and unite in planning wisely. Some youth may be best fitted to engage in home missionary work. There is a wide field of usefulness in the distribution of our literature and in bringing the third angel's message to the attention of friends and neighbors. Other youth should be encouraged to enter the canvassing work to sell our larger books. Some may have qualifications that would make them valuable helpers in our institutions. And in many instances, if promising youth were wisely encouraged and properly directed, they could be led to earn their own schooling by taking up the sale of Christ's Object Lessons or Ministry of Healing. In selling these books, the youth would be acting as missionaries, for they would be bringing precious light to the notice of the people of the world. At the same time, they would be earning money to enable them to attend school, where they could continue their preparation for wider usefulness in the Lord's cause. In the school, they would receive encouragement and inspiration from teachers and students to continue their work of selling books, and when the time came for them to leave school, they would have received a practical training fitting them for the hard, earnest, self-sacrificing labor that has to be done in many foreign fields, where the third angel's message must be carried under difficult and trying circumstances. How much better is this plan than for students to go through school without obtaining a practical education in field work, and at the end of their course leave under a burden of debt with but little realization of the difficulties they will have to meet in new and untried fields. How hard it will be for them to meet the financial problems that are connected with pioneer work in foreign lands. And what a burden someone will have to carry until the debts incurred by the student have been paid. On the other hand, how much might be gained if the self-supporting plan were followed? The student would often be enabled to leave the educational institution nearly or wholly free from personal indebtedness. The finances of the school would be in a more prosperous condition, and the lessons learned by the student while passing through these experiences in the home field would be of untold value to him in foreign fields. Let wise plans be laid to help worthy students to earn their own schooling by handling these books if they so desire. Those who earn sufficient means in this way to pay their way through a course at one of our training schools will gain a most valuable practical experience that will help fit them for pioneer missionary work in other fields. A great work is to be done in our world in a short time, and we must study to understand and appreciate more than we have in past years the providence of God and in placing in our hands the precious volumes, Christ Object Lessons and Ministry of Healing, as a means of helping worthy students to meet their expenses while in training, as well as a means of liquidating the indebtedness on our educational and medical institutions. Great blessings are in store for us as we widely handle these precious books given us for the advancement of the cause of present truth. And as we labor in accordance with the Lord's plan, we shall find that many consecrated youth will be fitted to enter the regions beyond as practical missionaries. And at the same time, the conferences in the home field will have means with which to contribute liberally to the support of the work that shall be undertaken in new territory. Sanitarium, California, April 17, 1908. God desires that the sale of Christ's Object Lessons shall be recognized by all our people as His method of relieving our schools from debt. It is because this plan has been neglected that we now feel so keenly our lack of means for the advancing work. Had the schools availed themselves of the provision thus made for them, there would be more money in the school treasuries and more money in the hands of God's servants with which to relieve the necessities of other needy departments of the cause. And best of all, teachers and students would have received the very lessons that they needed to learn in the Master's service. In the cities within easy reach of our sanitariums and training schools, a mission field is open to us that we have as yet only touched with the tips of our fingers. In some of these places, a good beginning has been made, but it was God's purpose that by the sale of Ministry of Healing and Christ's Object Lessons, much means should be raised for the work of our sanitariums and schools, and that our people might there be left more free to donate of their means for the opening of the work in new missionary fields. If our people will now engage in the sale of these books as they ought, we shall have much more means than we now have to carry the work in the way the Lord designed that it should be carried. Camp meetings and our publications. In connection with our camp meetings in past years, God's servants have improved many precious opportunities for instructing our people in practical methods of presenting the saving truths of the third angel's message to their friends and acquaintances. Many have been taught how to labor as self-supporting missionaries in their home communities. Many have returned home from these annual gatherings to labor with greater zeal and intelligence than heretofore. It would be pleasing to God if far more of this practical instruction were given the church members who attend our camp meetings than has usually been given in past years. Our general workers and our brethren and sisters in every conference should remember that one of the objects of our annual gatherings is that all may gain a knowledge of practical methods of personal missionary work. This phase of our camp meeting is outlined in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, as follows. God has committed to our hands a most sacred work, and we need to meet together to receive instruction that we may be fitted to perform this work. We need to understand what part we shall individually be called upon to act in building up the cause of God in the earth, in vindicating God's holy law, and in lifting up the Savior as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. We need to meet together and receive the divine touch that we may understand our work in the home. Parents need to understand how they may send forth from the sanctuary of the home their sons and daughters so trained and educated that they will be fitted to shine as lights in the world. We need to understand in regard to the division of labor and how each part of the work is to be carried forward. Each one should understand the part he is to act, and there will be harmony of plan and of labor in the combined work of all, pages 32 and 33. Properly conducted, the camp meeting is a school where pastors, elders, and deacons can learn to do more perfect work for the Master. It should be a school where the members of the church, old and young, are given opportunity to learn the way of the Lord more perfectly, a place where believers can receive an education that will help them to help others. The best help that ministers can give the members of our churches is not sermonizing, but planning work for them. Give each one something to do for others. Help all to see that as receivers of the grace of Christ, they are under obligation to work for Him, and let all be taught how to work. Especially should those who are newly come to the faith be educated to become laborers together with God. If set to work, the despondent will soon forget their despondency, the weak will become strong, the ignorant intelligent, and all will be prepared to present the truth as it is in Jesus. They will find an unfailing helper in Him who has promised to save all that come unto Him. Pages 49 and 50. In some of our conferences, the leaders have hesitated to introduce these practical methods of instruction. Some are naturally inclined to sermonize rather than to teach. But on such occasions as our annual camp meetings, we must never lose sight of the opportunities afforded for teaching the believers how to do practical missionary work in the place where they may live. In many instances, it would be well to set apart certain men to carry the burden of different lines of educational work at these meetings. Let some help the people to learn how to give Bible readings and to conduct cottage meetings. Let others bear the burden of teaching the people how to practice the principles of health and temperance and how to give treatments to the sick. Still others may labor in the interests of our periodical and book work, and let chosen workers take special interest in teaching how to handle Christ's object lessons and ministry of healing. Many have never learned how to sell the books dedicated to the advancement of our institutional work, but such should not excuse themselves. They should study diligently how they may do their part faithfully in connection with the circulation of these precious books. Our schools and sanitariums must be conducted on a high plane of efficiency, and a solemn responsibility rests upon us all to help place these institutions on vantage ground by giving the relief books a wide circulation. God will be glorified by everyone who takes an active interest in the work of placing these books in the hands of the multitudes who are in need of the saving truths of the gospel. The opportunity we have of doing good by striving to carry out the Lord's plan for the relief of our schools and sanitariums has been presented to me over and over again in connection with the Southern California Conference. The conditions there are unusually favorable for a long-continued effort to push the sale of Christ's object lessons and ministry of healing. Our brethren and sisters in Southern California should never weary of this plan for raising money to meet the debts that have accumulated. The students of the Fernando School and the nurses of the three sanitariums that have been established can ill afford to lose the precious experiences in missionary work that come to those who handle the relief books, and the conference can ill afford to lose the results, spiritual as well as financial, that it would accompany a continued effort of this sort. But years have passed, and students who should have been gaining rich experiences in actual missionary work have not been encouraged to launch out heartily in the sale of Christ's object lessons. Church members in many places have daily met with strangers, tourists, men and women of means and influence, and yet such opportunities as these for circulating Christ's object lessons and ministry of healing have been allowed to pass by unimproved. Many honest-hearted persons who could have been reached by diligent, wholehearted effort have not been given the light of the third angel's message. Had the Lord's plan been followed, His name would have been glorified, and many spiritual victories would have been won. Those having means would have been more able and willing to come up to the help of the Lord when He was leading out in an extraordinary manner in the establishment of strong medical missionary centers in the vicinity of great thoroughfares of travel. Students would have received a training that would have greatly increased their efficiency as practical missionaries at home and abroad. Churches would have been revived with spiritual blessings. Many would have been won to the truth, and these would have been brought into the cause their influence and their means. In such places as Southern California, where thousands of tourists, many of them in search of health and strength, are constantly coming and going, special and continuous efforts should be put forth to scatter the bright rays of light and truth. The book's ministry of healing and Christ object lessons are peculiarly adapted for use in tourist centers, and everything possible should be done to place copies of these works in the hands of those who have leisure and inclination to read. Especially do those who are seeking for restoration of health need the book Ministry of Healing. Every favorable opportunity for reaching this class is to be improved. My heart is rejoiced as I have learned of a revival of the relief work in Southern California during the past few months. At Loma Linda, some of the nurses have been given a special training for the work of selling Ministry of Healing as they have visited homes in the neighboring cities and villages. The blessing of heaven has rested richly upon them, and favorable impressions have been made in behalf of our people and their work. At the Fernando School, the teachers have recently led out in reviving an interest in the sale of Christ object lessons. Bands of students, after prayerful study of the book, have visited Los Angeles in company with their teachers and have gained a sound, solid experience which they prize above silver and gold. This kind of work is, in fact, one of the means God has ordained for giving our youth a missionary training, and those who neglect to improve such opportunities lose out of their lives a chapter of experience of the highest value. By entering heartily into this work, students can learn how to approach with tact and discretion men and women in all walks of life, how to deal with them courteously, and how to lead them to give favorable consideration to the truths contained in the books that are sold. Our greatest burden should be not the raising of money, but the salvation of souls. And to this end, we should do all in our power to teach students how to lead souls to a knowledge of the third angel's message. When we are successful in the work of soul saving, those who are added to the faith will, in turn, use their ability in giving the truth to others. When we labor diligently for the salvation of our fellow men, God will prosper our every effort. To the presidents of conferences and to others in positions of leading responsibility, I would say, let us do all in our power to impress upon the teachers connected with our educational institutions the great value of the blessings in store for those who seek diligently to make the best possible use of the gift Christ Object Lessons. Let us encourage the teachers to unite with many of their students in a prayerful study of this book, preparatory to going out with them into active field work. Let us help the educators to understand their responsibility in this matter. Let us do all we can to revive the Christ Object Lessons work and to inaugurate plans for an active campaign with Ministry of Healing. As teachers and students engage heartily in this line of work, they will gain an experience that will fit them to do valuable service in connection with our camp meetings. Through the instruction that they can give to the believers in attendance and through the sale of many books in the places where such meetings are held, those who have been in the school will be able to do their part in reaching the multitudes who need to be given the third angel's message. Let teachers and students nobly bear their share of the burden of showing our own people how to communicate the message to their friends and neighbors. When we follow plans of the Lord's devising, we are laborers together with God. Whatever our position, whether presidents of conferences, ministers, teachers, students, or lay members, we are held accountable by the Lord for making the most of our opportunities to enlighten those in need of present truth. And one of the principal agencies He has ordained for our use is the printed page. In our schools and sanitariums, in our home churches, particularly in our annual camp meetings, we must learn to make a wise use of this present precious agency. With patience, diligence, chosen workers must instruct our people how to approach unbelievers in a kindly, winning way and how to place in their hands literature in which the truth for this time is presented with clearness and power. My brethren and sisters, let us not become weary in well-doing. During His earthly ministry, Christ traveled on foot from place to place. Wearied as He oft times was, His human nature taxed to the utmost, yet He was ever ready to heal all who came unto Him and to teach them the way of life eternal. Though often physically exhausted, He left not His work. There was a world to be saved. He made every sacrifice possible in order that light and truth might shine forth. The Lord God of Israel desires us to link up in holy union with Himself and exercise the living faith that works by love and purifies the soul. He desires that we shall be a working corps of laborers endowed with adaptability for His service, and to such He promises power to win a glorious victory for Him. Sanitarium, California, July 10, 1908. The men who stand as leaders in any part of the solemn work of the last gospel message must cultivate and cherish broad views and ideas. It is the privilege of all who bear responsibilities in the work of the gospel to be apt learners in the school of Christ. The professed follower of Christ must not be led by the dictates of his own will. His mind must be trained to think Christ's thoughts and enlightened to comprehend the will and way of God. Such a believer will be a follower of Christ's methods of work. Our brethren must not forget that the wisdom of God has made provision for our schools in a way that will bring blessing to all who participate in the enterprise. The book Christ's Object Lessons was donated to the educational work that the students and other friends of the schools might handle these books and by their sale raise much of the means needed to lift the school indebtedness. But this plan has not been presented to our schools as it should have been. The teachers and students have not been educated to take hold of this book and courageously push its sale for the benefit of the educational work. Long ago, the teachers and students in our schools should have learned to take advantage of the opportunity to raise means by the sale of Christ's Object Lessons. In selling these books, the students will serve the cause of God, and while doing this, by the dissemination of precious light, they will learn invaluable lessons in Christian experience. All our schools should now come into line and earnestly endeavor to carry out the plan presented to us
for the education of workers, for the relief of the schools, and for the winning of souls to the cause of Christ.